We're here in another new year. Today's scripture is found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Put it on, it'll be on the screen. Beginning at verse number 1. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were again to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll go down to 14. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. A new year, a new you. A new year, a new you. I was recently reading this story about this little boy who went out to the field wearing a baseball cap, and in one hand he carried a baseball, and in the other hand he carried a baseball bat. And his face bore the look of tremendous confidence. Cocking his hat to the side, he tossed the ball into the air, saying, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And then he swung and missed. "Strike one," he said. Then he picked up the ball and examined it, and he threw it up in the air again, and he swung, and he repeated, "I am the greatest batter in the world." Once again, he missed. Strike two. Then this time he stopped and he examined the bat to make sure there wasn't a hole in it. And then he picked up the ball and adjusted his cap and tossed the ball into the air. And he repeated again, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." He swung with all his might and he missed for the third time. "Wow," he cried, "what a pitcher. I am the greatest pitcher in the world." Today is the second Sunday in 2011. And as we look back over the last 12 months, I'm not sure whether most of us would consider ourselves pitchers or batters. But I know for sure all of us have struck out sometimes. And then how will you look at yourself? Will you look at yourself as a loser Will you look at yourself as a bad batter, or will you look at yourself as a great pitcher? It's all a matter of attitude. And we cannot allow last year or the failures of last year to define us. You got to shift your attitude. You got to shift your attitude and think about the future is greater than the past. I know for many of you and many of us, it's been a bad 2010. But look, you ought to look at somebody and say, I'm so glad 2010 is over. It's a new day. It's a new season. I'm going to do some new things. I'm going to trust God. I believe in God. I'm going to shift my attitude. And I am the greatest pitcher in the world. Well, when we look at this text, Paul says, I'm not going to let those things behind me define me. Paul says, you know, that I press towards the mark. I count myself to have apprehended, but I do one thing. How many of you know you can't do everything? You can't do everything well. You know, I am so glad that there are people who sing better than me. You can't be the musician, you can't be the pastor, you can't be the deacon, you can't be the trustee, you can't be the deacon. Find the one thing you can do well and do it. Look at somebody and say, find your thing. And do it well and do it to the best of your ability. And then celebrate somebody else's gifts. Don't be a hater. Y'all don't think I talk to young people, do. Don't be a hater. If they can do something well, go ahead and give them affirmation and give thanks to God for what they're able to do. But then do your one thing. You know, I find most of us can't multitask. We claim that we can, but most of us can do one thing at a time. And I know for me, I can do one thing at a time, and sometimes I don't do that very well. But then the other thing, too, is we have to realize that you and I don't have all the time in the world. Whatever you're going to do, look at somebody and say, do it. No, don't put it off to next week. Don't put it off to next year. If you can do one thing, do it. You don't have all the time in the world. All the time you have is right now. You and I don't know how much time we have. Young folk are dying. Young folk are checking out. Do what you can do and do it while you can and do it right now. You can sing, you ought to be up here in this choir. If you can do something else in the church, you ought to be doing it. Whatever the gifts God has given you, you ought to use it to the glory of God. And if you'll use it, how many of you know God will develop you? You can't sit on your gifts and expect to be developed. You got to use your gifts. And so in 2011, use your gifts to the glory of God. And then give God some praise for what God has done through you and in you and by you by using your gifts to his glory. I read also about today, statistics tell us that many people live to be 75 years of age. Those statistics, people live to be 75. And of course, some people live to be beyond that. But if you live to be 75 years, this is how your time would be spent statistically. Most of us, if we live to be 75, will spend 3 solid years, 24 hours a day, acquiring an education from grade school, high school. Over 75 years, if you put it all the time you went to school, you would have spent 3 years learning in school. And then you would spend 7 years eating. Because as some of us would spend more time than that eating. You live to be 75 years old. You will spend 7 years, 24-hour days eating. And then we would spend 14 years day and night working. 14 years out of 75 years. 14 years. And then we spend 5 years riding in cars and on buses and on airplanes. 5 years, 24-hour days in 75. We spend 5 years talking to each other, because some of us would talk more. We spend 1 year sick and recovering from sickness in 75 years. And get this, we spend 24 years sleeping in 75 years. 24 years sleeping. And then we spend 3 years reading books, magazine, and newspapers. And then we spend 12 years amusing ourselves, watching TV, going to the movies, fishing, whatever, 12 years. That totals up to be 75 years. But then somebody else said, research says, in the 75 years, let's suppose that you spent every Sunday of your life for 75 years, from infancy to childhood to adulthood to old age, going to worship during the church service. Now, if you did that, how much time would you have spent worshiping God? 5.5 months. If you went to church every Sunday for 75 years, you would have spent 5.5 months. And then if you'd have went to Sunday school and church for 75 years, and you never missed one Sunday of Sunday school, you never missed one Sunday of worship, guess how much time you would have spent in church and Sunday school? 11 months. What I'm trying to tell you is your priorities are important. And if you want to develop into being a spiritual man, a woman of God, you've got to go to church. But not only that, you have to spend more time than just going to worship. You got to spend some time in your daily prayer life, in your daily Bible reading, and your daily... Look at somebody say, he's preaching. I know you're not feeling this, but I'm preaching. Go on, Jackson. Go on, boy, you're preaching. How you spend your time is important in developing who you become in Christ Jesus. And if you don't spend any time in the Word, and if you don't, you know, most of us, none of us in here go to church every Sunday, have been to church every Sunday all of our lives. And so that means we have not spent a whole lot of time in developing our spiritual self. The new you, if you're going to develop a new you, you've got to spend time in Christ. But also, if you're going to develop a new you in this new year, you cannot allow your past to hold you in captivity. You can't allow your past to hold you in bondage. Yeah, you made some mistakes. Yeah, I've made some mistakes. Yeah, you haven't done everything right. Yeah, you messed up big time. Yes, you have failed in some things, but just because you failed in some things does not make you a failure. Do I have a witness in the house? It just means that you blew it one or two times, and you've got to get over it, and you've got to get up, and you've got to trust God. You've got to press on the upward way through Christ. Is in his calling in Christ. So, you know, so you blew it. Look at somebody and say, so you blew it. Get over it. Trust God. Move on. It's a new day. It's a new season. You can be more than you are. Don't let your past cripple you and hold you back. Paul says here, in this text, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I will not let my past control me. And Paul had a pretty bad past. Paul persecuted the church. Paul was a number one persecutor of the church. Paul had a reason. If he looked back in his life, he could have said, no way will Christ have any use for me. And some of us have had some pretty bad passes, and we look back in our lives and say, no way that God can use me. But I want you to look forward and say, God can use even me. And God can forgive me. And one thing, as we go forth in the future, not only should we not let our passes imprison us, we've got to get past holding grudges. Holding grudges. You know, somebody hurt us. Somebody did something to us. And just seeing them sends us into a tizzy. Y'all know what a tizzy is. Holding grudges makes us fighting mad. How many of you know that holding a grudge can poison your own spirit? Holding a grudge can give you a stroke. Holding a grudge can give you a, you know, and New Year's and a new year is a good time to let it go. To let the grudge go. And sometimes people hurt you so bad. Now you do have to pray. Because you have to say, Lord, you know I need some help. Because he makes me so sick and she makes me so angry. Lord, don't let me see them too often. Lord, I can't handle this by myself. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? I need some help. But we got to, if you want to have peace and if you want to be happy and you want to develop into being the child of God that God wants you to be, somewhere along the line, you've got to learn how to let the grudge go. Because if you don't let the grudge go, it will poison you and you can't stand yourself and nobody else will be able to stand you either. I know we're supposed to love everybody in church. I know we do, but we don't necessarily like everybody. Particularly if it's somebody that's hurt you out in the world. One thing if somebody hurts you out there is another thing if somebody hurts you in here. A new you, a new year. We need to establish priorities in our lives. I was reading this little story and I'm done today. About this guy was giving a speech. He's a public speaker. After speaking for a while, he says, okay, it's time for a quiz. So he set a 1 gallon wide mouth mason jar on the table in front of him. Then he produced a dozen fist sized rocks and carefully placed these rocks in this jar. And when the jar was filled to the top, no more rocks would fit inside. He asked, is this jar full? Everyone said yes. Really, he said. Then he reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel and he dumped some gravel into the jar and shook it and caused pieces of gravel to work themselves down into space between the rocks. Then he smiled and asked the group again, is this jar full? But by this time, the class was on to him. Probably not, one of them said. Good, he replied. And then he reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand. And he poured the sand into it and filled the spaces between the rocks and the gravel. And once more he asked, is this jar full? And they said, no. Again he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water and poured the water into the jar. And then he looked back at the class and asked, what is the point of this illustration? And one eagerly said, the point is that no matter how full your schedule is, you can always fit something more in your schedule. He said, no, that's not the point. The point is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. What's the big rocks in your life? Put prayer in. If you don't put prayer in, you'll never get it in. Do I have a witness? Put Bible study in. Put church in. I know how busy you are. And you know, you're just so busy. But make church a priority. Put it in first. Because if you don't put it in first, you won't have room to get it in. Do I have a witness in the house? God wants us to spend time in prayer and God wants us to spend time drawing near him and seeking his guidance in our lives through reading his word. And he wants us to remember the big rocks and to put them first. And then he says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added unto you. Before you seek Lotto, seek Christ. Before you seek a husband or a wife, Look at somebody and say, you better listen.
Yes, sir.
A new year and a new you. You and I can become new creatures in Jesus Christ. We can become new persons in Christ. And you and I, when we get our priorities straight, when we get our priorities in the right order, we can mature into new beings. How many of you know that you don't become a new person overnight? How many of you, like me, you've given up stuff so many times, you know, you quit drinking coffee, you quit eating this, and you were fine for a year. I have to confess to you, this is the confession time. Y'all know I quit drinking coffee, right? I've fallen. I'm not as bad as I was, but every now and then I sneak one in. I have not gone back to the red meat, though. I'm good on the red meat. But I'm not bragging. Because it's so easy to go back to where we were. Driving past 7-Eleven. I mean, I just don't like coffee. I like 7-Eleven coffee. And it calls my name. French vanilla. That's a small example of how easy it is to go back into our old life. As soon as you make up your mind to change your behavior, the devil will always make you pass 7-Eleven. Whatever your 7-Eleven may be. Speed pass. My advice is, do not slow down. The last word, a new year, a new you, is possible.